שלום עליכם.
שלום עליך.
עליכם השלום. בעזרת השם, we're continuing our limud in the house of Mrs. Kalman Nachman. We're dedicating our limud לעילוי נשמת Kalman Nachman בן פרץ הרשל, our friend that passed away. And בעזרת השם, we're going to continue from the place we stopped in Likutei Moharan, Torah Kaftet. 29. So Rabbeinu explained to us a little bit on what it's written, "Lo te'nachashu ve'lo te'onenu," shehem gormim, that actually not to go to people that guess that are using black magic and black powers to answer astrology and tarot and all of nonsense like those. And actually Rabbeinu is explaining that people like those, people that are going to find their advice from those kind of people, so actually they're pulling the snake, that is the Yetzirah, to damage, to bite our holy nation, Chas Shalom. And I mentioned it yesterday, that this is what we heard from Rabbeinu HaKadosh by Rav Shalom Arush, that actually the main biting of the snake, it's laziness and sadness. And David Shlomo told us actually that those people that are going to ask for an advice from those wizards and which is the lazy. This is their laziness. They don't want to deal and to confront themselves in the field and to do tshuva on their avonot. Just they want to find an easy solution to get rid of troubles. And actually by that they're pulling the snake to come and to bite them more and more and more. To be more lazy and more lazy. And now Rabbeinu is explaining, וגורמים שליטת השפחה בישה, that they're bringing that evil female slave שהיא עת רעה to control, that it's a bad time to control. וזה, and this is what it's written, לא תנחשו, not תנחשו, not to go to those people that are guessing. Rabbeinu is learning the words like the letters of the word נחש, שלא לגרום, not to cause, חס ושלום, נחש משיך לה לגבה וכולי כנ"ל. That the snake, נחש, gonna bite חס ושלום. ולא תעוננו, and what is that, לא תעוננו, שהוא לשון עת ועונה. That it's a time, that it's the way of saying time. Time and a season. So, לא תעוננו means, היינו שלא לגרום, it means not to bring, not to cause, חס ושלום, שליטת העת רעה, to bring the control of that bad time של הקף חת איתין, one of the 28 times וכנה, like that we learned before. So also we know that the word ona is being used in the mitzvat ona, so it's also the mitzvat ona is a very very holy mitzvah, that when the person is keeping it in kedusha, so actually by that it's we can compare it in a certain way to the mitzvah of Mayim Achronim Chova. One time I came to Rav Shalom and I asked him, Rav, we learned that we have a mitzvah of Mayim Achronim Chova, and the reason of Mayim Achronim Chova, from what that I learned, is that we know that the Yetzirah, he is jealous, he wants to conquer our success, he doesn't want us to succeed. And when he sees that we're sitting and eating seuda on a bread, there is a lot of sparks, holy sparks in that seuda, and he doesn't want us to have them. And when we're gaining them, actually in Birkat Hamazon you're rising all of the sparks, the holy sparks, all of the letters the holy letters of Lashon HaKodesh that the food contained, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created those foods with those certain letters. And now when it's food, you can have, when you make it spiritual by eating it, you're attaching it to you, you're rising those letters that fell into this world. So the Yetzirah doesn't want us to have that, to do that tikkun to all of those wonderful foods that we just ate with Birkat HaMazon. So he wants to jump on the person, Chas Shalom, and to fight with him on those sparks. This is why it's written that the time of eating, it's et milchama, it's time of a war. It's a war. Everyone sees that when he sits to eat, that it's a war. If he's going to eat the food or that the food is eating him, it's a war. So you have to be a hero to conquer the Yetzirah, to eat like that. You should eat in a fit way, in an honorable way. So this is why we're doing the Mayim Achronim Chova, last water. By doing last water, we're reducing a little bit by the water of Netilah, a little bit from the Kedusha that we have in our hands. We're putting it in that plate with the Mayim Achronim Chova, and the Yetzirah, he's the Yetzirah. He doesn't control his Yetzirah. He's the Yetzirah. So he immediately jumping on those sparks. And now that he's busy eating, swallowing those sparks, that drops of Kedusha that fell into that plate, we can now say Birkat HaMazon Benachat, quietly, and this is how we pushed him away. So I asked Rav Shalom on that, I told him, Rav, this is in the Seudah, but in our life, what's the Mayim Achronim Chova that we should give to the Yetzirah? Maybe there is also something in life that you should let the Yetzirah to hold that thing, and he's going to leave us alone, that we're going to be able to sit and to learn, to do long it bodhidiyot, maybe. So Rav Shalom answered to me, a very simple answer. Told me, Mayim Achronim Chova. And this is it. This is what that you're giving to the Yetzirah. What that Rabotenu said to give to the Yetzirah. And not more than that. You're not going to cancel from your limud now to give it to the Yetzirah. No, he's fooling you. He's tricking you. The truth is that you can give him only the Mayim Achronim Chova. So, similar to that, like that, there is also the Mitzvat Onah, like we said. There is times for the good and there is times for the bad. And we have to stay away from times for the bad. We're not allowed to bring and to pull bad times, Chas Shalom. We have to keep all of our time in Kedusha. But when you have Mitzvat Onah, but when you have a Mitzvah that's in time, that it's a Mitzvah that is attaching the person in a very physical way, attaching him to this world in a very strong way, so we should keep that Mitzvah in the most Kedusha, in the most holy way that we can keep that, and by that actually, like the Rabbeinu is saying, explaining, by that you're guarding yourself from all of other bad times. We're davening that we're going to have the ability to guard ourselves in Kedusha, that even when the person is with his wife, he is not forgetting Hashem Yitbarach. Even when a person is eating, he's not forgetting Hashem Yitbarach. I'm not talking about forgetting Hashem in the middle of Shmona Esrei. Talking in the middle of the Seudah, not to forget Hashem Yitbarach. And by doing that, if you let yourself eat when you need to eat, drink when you need to drink, sleep when you need to sleep, and you do it in the right measure, by that you have powers for the Avodat Hashem. But if you're eating too much and sleeps too much, in the end you don't have the time to learn. And even if you're trying to sleep less than you need, and to be so parush and so holy and not to be with your wife, Chas Shalom. So in the end, on that it says, Al tiyeh tzadik harbe. Don't be too much of a tzadik, because by that you're going to be too much of a rasha in the end. Person have to check himself, what's really his abilities. And how a person going to know what's his abilities? You're going to check it by your happiness. If you're happy, it's your level. If it's pushing you down to sadness, it's not your level. And it can be from two reasons. or that you took too much on yourself and it's too heavy, or that you're not fulfilling your obligations and you feel empty and frustrated that you're not doing enough. But both of them have the same result, that you're not happy. But if you are fulfilling your obligation and you are serving Hashem Yitbarach, you do serve Hashem Yitbarach, Hashem gives you happiness. Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Mesamchei Lev. The mitzvot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are straight and they're making you a person happy. It makes the person happy. A question.
Does the same thing apply to Parnasa?
Yes, but in what are you asking?
Somebody is trying to not have Parnasa and he finds himself not happy with the situation.
Of course. It means that he doesn't have the confidence that requires in Avodat Hashem to bring Parnasa without an effort, below Torah. It's not his level. He heard that by Bodedut you can bring Parnasa. He done that once, twice, not enough for sure. He sees that Parnasa is not coming. So it's not his level. I told you that once in a shiur, that one of my students, I asked Rav Shalom on him, on matters of Parnasa, what he should do to bring the Parnasa. And actually Rav Shalom said to that person to do it bodedut. And after that person done for a long time it bodeduyot and Parnasa, he didn't have more money because of those it bodeduyot. And then I asked Rav, I told him, Rav, so what should we do? He doesn't have the Parnasa and he was doing a long, long it bodeduyot. So Rav Shalom said the answer. The fact that a person is davening and he's not receiving what that he asked, it's because that he doesn't have confidence. And if he doesn't have confidence, he should go to work. This was the answer. I can be more soft and to say, I'm not saying that I'm more right, but I can be more soft and to say that if you see that your prayers are not being answered, you should daven on confidence, on bitachon. Hashem, let me believe that you can save me. I'm going to give you an example. Not so long ago, I had to find my Parnasa. And every one of you can tell for sure that I don't have time to bring Parnasa. Not because that I'm lazy, I'm not working, because I don't have time. So my shita of bringing Parnasa is to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, I have two things to do now and I'm going to choose the one that I think that you rather that I'm going to choose, if it's to learn Torah or to bring Parnasa. So for sure you rather that I'm going to learn Torah and not to waste my time on Parnasa. So please, Bor Olam, while I'm learning, give me my Parnasa. Shalom Bayit or Parnasa, for sure that Shalom Bayit is important. So please, Bor Olam, give me the Parnasa while I'm staying in the house, learning with the kids, and it's your job to bring the Parnasa. So I'm just clarifying it with Hashem Yitbarach again and again to myself, to build my confidence. So a few days ago, I had a very complex situation that I had to achieve a very huge amount of money. And when I'm saying huge amount of money, it means for the house that I'm fixing, I had to bring an amount that was over 50,000 shekels to the shiputz. I had a certain promise from a family fixing the house, building something in the house. Repair, how you say that?
Remodeling
the house. So, it's not the right way of explaining it, but it's okay. To make it
livable.
So, so, and I had a certain promise from a family member that he's going to help me with that. And maybe 1 week before that it was the time to pay that amount of 50,000 shekels to the kablan, to the one that works in the house, the repairman,
contractor.
So that person called me and told me that he doesn't have, in the end, the ability to take that loan that he wanted to take because he wanted to help me.
Oops.
And exactly, oops. And people are the, cannot call them people, but the workers are working in the house now. They're working and have to pay them, have to. So I put my confidence on Hashem Yitbarach again, and I davened a little bit on that. I made 1 hour on that. The Bor Olam going to help me because I don't have the time even to do six and whatever. And then my mother called me, and she told me, "Listen, I talked to a very rich person that he heard your CD that now Baruch Hashem were Madpisim publishing it now in those days." And I told him that you are in a lot of stress and that you need help. And he said that maybe that he helped a lot of people and maybe he's gonna help you also. I said, okay. Al tiftichu bin divim, you're not allowed to rely on generous people. But I said, okay, so let's set a meeting. And I met that person, and in that meeting in the beginning he was talking about something totally else. And I told him, I really respect your will, but it's not the help that I need, so thank you very much. And I rejected him in the meeting from his attitude of trying to help me by his shita. I know what I need, I don't need him to tell me what I need. So I rejected him. But he, for him it was hard, and he still wanted to help, maybe. And then in the end he told me, what do you need? So I told him, listen, I need 50,000 shekels, and I'm not, if you want to help you can help, but everything is wonderful, you don't need to help me, it's great. So he said, so what are you going to do? I'm going to do what I'm doing all of my life, I'm going to keep on praying. If you want to help me with more tefillot, maybe you can ask for Hashem Yitbarach on me also. He said, no, I want to help you. I said, okay, wonderful. And he changed his mind, and he obligated himself to help me with 50,000 shekels. Sounds great, wonderful. In the evening before of that day that I was supposed, and I already was sure that he's going to give the money because he said it. In the evening before, I sent him a text message, how we're progressing with the deposit of that amount of money. So he answered to me that he apologized. It was the evening, that tomorrow was yesterday. Means that it was in Sunday. Mm-hmm. In Sunday, I wrote him what's going to happen. He told me, I'm sorry, I'm apologizing, I checked myself, I can give you 1,000 shekels. Nice, it's a good start, there's something to work with. So, I wanted to answer him, why, and what are you doing? But then I stopped and I said to myself, look, it's only Hashem. And it was 7 p.m. I stood up from my chair in the house. I came to my wife. I told her, my wife, you know that I love you? She said, yes. Told her, you know that I love our kids? She said, yes. Told her, so now I'm going to Meron. And this is it. I have to go to Meron. She told me, why? I told her, because this is the text message that he just texted me. And I showed it to her. So she said, you want me to come with you? Maybe I'm going to do it, but I do it also. I told her, no, we have kids. Take care of the kids. I'm going to Meron, and I'm not doing it usually. I went from the house in 7:30 p.m. 2 days ago. I went to Meron, driving, doing my regular hitbodedut, finishing the tshuva of yesterday, and my half an hour that I'm doing daily on one subject, and another half an hour that I'm doing daily on another subject. And I got to Meron. I was in Meron for 2 hours and a half. And I'm saying to myself, what's going to be? I have to have miracles. But I don't have the ability to accept miracles like those. I don't. Who can stand in that and not to be arrogant? Someone going to touch me in the back, going to give me here 50,000. I'm too arrogant to accept miracles in that level. I know that I won't. It won't be a miracle for me. It's going to damage me, chas shalom, if I'm going to see a miracle in that size. I know that it's not what's going to happen. Well, I'm not going to ruin me. But still, I need the money, so what's going to be? And I made that hitbodedut. In the morning, I came back at 3:30 a.m. to the house. Ruined. Totally ruined. Mamash. so tired, and gosh, it was totally hard. And my wife, she was very frustrated, it was very hard, and went to sleep. In the morning, I sent a message to another friend that he told me that he can loan me the money, and I told him that it's an option, that maybe I'm going to take that loan from him. Told me okay. Meanwhile, there was something else that happened. I don't want to mention that person's name. And that person talked to me on the phone and told me what's going on. So I'm telling you really, with all of my heart, bitmimut, I didn't plan nothing. And I wasn't hoping even that that person going to give me money. And I told him, I just shared him with what that happened to me 2-3 days ago and yesterday night. And I told him, and today I have to pay 50,000 shekels and I don't have it. We finished the conversation. After 5 or 10 minutes, that person is calling me and he told me, I'm going to give you the money. I told him, I need to pay back. How much I should, I don't know how to pay back. He told me, no, you don't need to pay back. And he covered all of that amount of 50,000 shekels. I told him, all right, I'm going to come to pick the money from you. He said, no, no, I'm on the way to Jerusalem. And he came to Jerusalem and he handed me the money and he gave me the money. And it was totally perfect in the end. But I had to go through all of what that I had to go through. Why? Just for humility. Just that you're gonna know that you cannot count on people. Just that you're gonna know that you cannot count on your prayers. Not on nothing. In the end, you see how the tzaddikim are doing everything for you. How really when you are davening, you get your salvations and everything that you need. And I told my wife, you see that it's a miracle. It's no doubt that it's a miracle. We had to go through a lot to get that miracle. But only because that miracles are happening to the one that is low. Eshkol Nedaka. Hashem is with the humble people. So if you're arrogant, you cannot have salvations. And if you're humble, means you're bringing yourself down. If you're wise, you're going to do it by yourself. You're going to bring yourself down. You're going to do it in the Itbodedut. You're going to remind yourself who you really are. And how much everything that you have in your life, it's only by the merit of the real tzaddikim that saves your life and helping you so much and opening the path for you and gives you the... And if you're doing it daily in the Itbodedut, you're creating a vessel for salvations. When I came to the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I opened the Likutei Moharan. Over there, Rabbi Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu, in that Torah of Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu is explaining that the person can be attached to the tzaddik only if he's got the nature of the tzaddik, that he's anav, that he's humble. So you need to work on your humility. I came to there and I said, and Rabbeinu is explaining over there about Nishmat Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was the most humble tzaddik of them all. And Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the same like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, it's Nishmat Moshe. So I came over there and I said to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, this was my main itbodedut over there. I told him, listen, you're already there. You have the salvation. I need to find the entrance. I need to find I need to bend. So help me to humiliate myself, to take myself down to the place that the salvation, to the floor that the salvation is waiting in that floor. So he had to drag me until the middle of the night and to come so dead tired with no salvation at all in my hands back to the house with no hope, with no one to talk to except after it. Now you're in that flow. Now you can have your salvations. A wise person, Chacham Einav Berosho, he's got eyes in his head to see what that Hashem is talking to him, what the Hashem is doing with you. And if you have that wisdom, that you're working on your confidence, on faith, on prayers, simple prayers, I'm telling you, simple prayers. Not, please, Bo'olam, not in Dvekut, and not nothing, nonsense. I was davening my Ma'ariv very, very fast over there. I was doing Tikkun HaKlali in the middle of the Itbodedut because someone asked me to do Itbodedut. I made a pidyon for someone in one shekel that he asked me if I know to make a pidyon and gave me a shekel. So this is the thing. Someone came to him in Rashbi, told him, you know, to do pidyon, now you're going to get those 50,000. No, I get one coin of one shekel. But the humility, that you become humble, this is what that opened the path for the salvations. And after it, someone is coming, and it's not a, it doesn't look like a salvation, but it's a real salvation. Why? Because it brings you closer to Hashem. It makes you humble. It makes you aware to who that you really are, what's really your vessels. And then when you're checking it, so you had an amazing salvation. Look, who can make 50,000 shekels in 6 hours? It's only mamash, geniuses, only huge people, mamash, very huge people. You see that in the end, by bringing yourself down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing you up. And in 6 hours, he's doing 50,000 shekels. When I got the pile of bills, that pack of bills of 50,000 shekels, it's like that in 200s. I hold that, I said, how much effort a person should put in life to collect those bills? It's huge. Person cannot save that amount in a lifetime. People, normal people, are working and working and working, and this is it. And all of the money disappears always. And now suddenly you have that, and you can do whatever you want with it. It's yours. It's not yours. It belongs to Borei Olam. Liya kesef veliya zahav neum Hashem. I have all of the money, I have all of the gold, Hashem is saying to us. And we need to believe in it. And if you believe in that, and you're working on your humility, and you're just asking, please, Borei Olam, what can I do? Borei Olam is giving it to you. So you need to go through shames, through insultings, through knowing yourself and your condition. Great, this is your tikkun. But there's no connection between that and the parnasa. Is it answering to your question, Baruch? וזה שביקש יעקב, and this is what that Yaakov asked. ונתן לי לחם לאכול ובגד ללבוש. That הקדוש ברוך הוא give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, clothes to wear. כי זה תלוי בזה, because that one depends in that. כי פרנסה, because פרנסה תלוי בבחינת בגדים לבנים. It depends in white clothes. Clean clothes means to be holy. וזה לאכול לסובעה ולמכסה עתיק. It's written in Ishaya that a person, he needs to eat until he is satisfied. לאכול לסובעה, like that it's written, צדיק אוכל לסובע נפשו. He's fulfilling himself. He's not fulfilling, he's satisfying himself. ולמכסה עתיק, and to cover Hashem. Atik, it's old. It's one of the names of Hashem Yitbarach. Atik Yomin, that he is before of time. Ancient. What?
Ancient of days.
Ancient of days. And when you're eating, you should create that covering. It means to hide Hashem. What it means to hide Hashem? To hide Hashem, it means that אין הברכה שורה אלא במה ששמוי מן העין. The blessing, it can stand in, on something, can be only on something that it's hidden. Something that it's hidden, so why am I telling you all of my stories? Because the reason that I have my stories is because that I have a certain job in this world, that it's to teach you, that it's to give you those abilities also. And I know that for sure. I made a long itbodedut once on the tzion of Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich in Bnei Brak, and I davened over there on a very huge thing, and suddenly I had it in my thoughts that I will have that thing that I'm davening, but it's only because of one reason. What is that reason? To share it with others. This is the reason. Not because you're worthy, not because you're supposed to have it. Not, just that you're going to tell it in the shiurim. Just that you're going to give it to someone else. This is why I remind you always, that I'm a Baal Teshuva exactly like you, and that there is no difference between us. Nothing. Except of maybe, if you're not there yet, that I believe in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help me and save me. And I'm counting on Him, and I'm trying to walk in that path that Harav Shalom is leading us in and teaching us. That you cannot have a complete faith in Hashem Yitbarach if you don't believe in yourself. Remember that wonderful shiur last Wednesday. You cannot believe in yourself if you don't believe in Hashem. If you different, the other way, but it's both the same. You cannot believe in Hashem if you don't believe in yourself. And you cannot believe in yourself if you don't believe in Hashem. What it means? It means that if you believe that Hashem can help you, that He's got all of the powers, so you believe in yourself also, that you can achieve everything because He's got the powers. But if you think that you cannot achieve it, it's because you don't believe that Hashem has that ability to help someone so worse like you, the worst one. Okay, so you're the worst, but Hashem is the strongest. You're the lowest, alright, but Hashem is the highest. He's got the longest hands, He can pull you from everywhere. And to say on Him that maybe He doesn't want, it's not to believe in Hashem. Have to believe in ourselves, that we're worthy not because we're worthy. We're capable not because because Hashem loves us. Hashem is so kind that He loves all of His creatures. So why is He stopping me? Because I don't believe that it's from Him. I'm still remembering myself. I'm still arrogant. This is why Hashem is stopping me, that I'm going to be humble. And you need to check what is the thing that you're arrogant in. Maybe you learned a lot of humility until today, but maybe there is still something thin that is very critical to your condition. And this is why Hashem is stopping you on that. Maybe it's not even humility. Maybe just Hashem wants to give you something that it's a lot better than what that you are davening on. And Hashem wants you to have the ability to accept it. If someone wants to give you $1 million, you have to have a bank account. You cannot drag that suitcase with you, with $1 million. You need to have a bank account to contain. You have to have a vessel for $1 million. Now they're going to give a beggar $1 million. Now here, take. What are you going to do with it? You're going to lose all of it on the way to the supermarket. You're not going to be able to enjoy it. So we're asking on Kedusha. We're asking on Shalom Bayit. We're asking on a house in Jerusalem. We're asking on wonderful things. On Yirat Shamayim, on Kedusha. On being attached to huge tzaddikim that the world is standing on their shoulders. Huge tzaddikim. We're asking for very, very, for big, huge things, enormous things. We're not someone is asking me, what am I asking for? A zivug, a shalom bayit. You know what are you asking? Really to have it? People don't have it. Even married people, they don't have it. Married people, they don't have shalom bayit. Most of the couples, they don't have shalom bayit. You're asking for real shalom bayit. What means shalom bayit? That shalom, the peace, that Hashem Yitbarach gonna live in your house. So you're talking about modesty, you're talking about Gidusha, you're talking about daily limud Torah, in a very holy yeshiva, in Eretz Israel, in Jerusalem, not asking for a small thing. And you have a background. Every one of us, we have our background. So there is a lot to fix. We have a lot of holes in our sieve. This, our vessel, is a sieve. Olam, look, I'm bringing my vessel. It's a sieve. Please, give me a house. Alright, and it's all falling down. Alright, give me my shiduch. Alright, she disappeared. Alright, he's giving it to you. He gave it to you. And he wants to give it to you again and again. He doesn't have a problem. Don't worry. You haven't lost it. Just have to work on that sieve to be a vessel, to have the ability to contain, to guard our eyes, to bring more tefillah, to learn more Torah, to work on our midot. Rabbeinu is saying that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give wealth, ashirut, to the person, money to the person, Yetzer Hara doesn't want the person to have that, because the money, it's like a wall that is guarding the man. So Yetzirah doesn't want you to have that wall. So he's testing you in anger, in chema, in anger. And he wants to change that choma to be chema, to be anger. And if you're angry in that test, you lost your money. And if you're not angry, you're going to get that money. So every time that you see that someone tried to make you angry, a situation to make you angry, if you're going to hold yourself, there is a lot of money after the corner. But you need to work on your midot. If you're going to work on your midot, you're going to find that money. If you're not going to work on your midot, you're going to lose huge amounts of money. Like we said, Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving parnasa of 2,000 year every day. Every day. Where it all went? It went to all of the women that you looked at, to all of the cars that you looked at, to all of the options, to all of the confusions, to all of the bilbulim in Avodat Hashem, to all of fears and anxieties, to all of the food, to all of the things that you bought to yourself and you used it for nothing. You used your spiritual bounty. Rav Shalom said, everyone have a certain sweetness amount in for every day. If you start your day with 3 spoons of sugar in your coffee, so you reduced it from your Gemara page. But if you're not going to use it in the coffee, you're going to have those 3 spoons of sweetness in the Gemara. People don't feel the taste in the limud. All right, because you ate this size of a sandwich before one person came to Rabbi Shmuel Shapira that we talked about him yesterday in Meron. They were sitting in Achnasat Orchim in Meron in Shabbat. And he asked Rabbi Shmuel Shapira, how can you feel the taste of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? So Rabbi Shmuel Shapira answered to him, as long as you feel the taste of the kugel, you cannot feel the taste of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's this or that. It's or this world or the world to come. Have to choose. Have to choose what you rather. If you rather this world, go for it. You're not going to find it. Even after putting all of the effort, you're not going to find it. Rabbeinu said, I can testify. And Rabbeinu, he knew a lot of people. He said, I can testify that no one have this world. No one. Even the richest people of them all, they're not enjoying this world at all. Their problems of Shlom Bayit. He said, even the ministers, the Sarim, the Negidim, they have problems of envious, of kin'ah, frustrated from their kids. Rav Shalom said that when he was young, before of his tshuva, he was working in a certain factory. And after the Tidan tshuva, he came to visit. And he met all of the people, the workers over there, and then he went to visit, to talk to the manager. So he told the manager, look, on all of your workers, I understand why they're not doing tshuva. Because the lack of money, they have their excuse, they're running after parnasa, they're too busy. But you have everything. You're married, you have a house, you have family, you have a lot of money. Why are you not doing tshuva? So he told him, Rav, can I tell you a secret? He told him, yes. He said, I don't have no satisfaction from nothing that I have. You cannot enjoy nothing. Cannot enjoy Shlom Bayit, cannot enjoy eating, cannot enjoy drinking, cannot enjoy his money from the factory that he's got, workers, employees, cannot enjoy nothing. We're looking with our physical eyes and thinking, maybe if I'm going to have this, now I'm going to be happy. If you're going to be happy, you're going to have this and that, and you're going to be happy. If you think that it's ahavat luya bedavar, it's love that depends in something, if that thing is going to be cancelled, you lost your love. But if you have love that doesn't depend in nothing, you just love, you're just happy, because you love Hashem, you're happy, you're going to have everything. This is real asamech bechelko. You're going to be happy with your share, you're going to be happy with what did you have in your life, and you have it all, because you can have Hashem. The one that have da'at, he's got everything. You have wisdom, you have everything. Also need something else. Great. Yagata umatzata ta'amin. If you're going to put an effort, you're going to find it. The reason that you haven't found it yet is because you haven't put enough effort in that thing. Haven't put enough effort in that thing. Have to stand and to daven on things. If you're going to accept something with prayers, it's going to be a total different thing than accepting the same thing without prayers. It won't be the same. It's like an apple with bracha and without bracha. With bracha it's yours, without bracha it's gazul. It's stolen. You took it without permission. All of the blessing, all of the things that you can have in your life, if you have enough prayers, vessels to contain them, you can enjoy them. If you don't have it, you cannot enjoy those things, even if it's going to be the best. How many people been divorced after getting married with the wife of their dreams, the wife of their lives? After 3 years, it was hell of his life. Why? Because he wasn't davening on it. He wasn't humiliating himself in the prayers, in the tshuvot, to make the vessels for having such an amazing wife. He wasn't worthy to have a wonderful wife like that. And he's judging her and criticizing her and blaming her in everything. What are you blaming? If a person is still busy, occupied, his thoughts on blaming other people, means that he's not in the right direction at all. No one to blame. Just to know Hashem wants to give you more than you want to receive. So why is not giving? Because you don't have the ability to accept it. It's going to damage you. I told few people, students, friends, on the way to here this morning, that me for 5 years I'm asking for Marav Shalom almost every time that I'm meeting him to learn with him, that he's going to give me time, dedicate 1 hour a week, something to learn with him. And he always said yes, and he never learns with me in the end. Always said yes, we should find the time, we're going to do it, don't worry, yes, without Hashem. Now just it's a hard week, it's this time, it's after Ben Azmani, immediately after Pesach. And he's rejecting me for 5 years. And I know for sure that if it was the right thing for me, he would give it to me. But it's going to do more damage to me if I'm going to have it than without it. So it's not means that I won't gonna daven for it more and ask for it for more. Because when I'm gonna have those vessels, I'm gonna be able to contain it. So it's the time, but I'm gonna understand that it's the time to build those vessels. This is the time of building vessels. I said it a lot of times to people that I wasn't that lucky to come as a guy to the yeshiva. I married my wife and then I done yeshiva and got to yeshiva. But the things that you can learn as a bachur that you're not married yet and you're in yeshiva and you're learning, it's vessels for life, it's advice for life. The first step in marriage, you got the hadracha. How you say hadracha?
Guiding.
You know how to work it, you know how to do, you have advice. People that just got married, it's a lot harder than to drive. And you don't have no test and no lessons, and it's a lot harder than to drive. You can drive her crazy, very easily. Reading the Garden of Peace one time is not enough. Reading it twice, three times, it's not enough. Even reading it daily for the rest of your life, it's not enough. Why? Because you're not davening on it. Without asking from Borei Olam, the Siyata Dishmaya, to keep those rules, those advice, please Borei Olam. Alright, I read that book. Thank you very much. And look how you look like. You read that book and nothing changed in your life. I was in yeshiva also, I learned also. Alright, and it haven't helped you. Why? Because you were not taking it seriously. Borei Olam, give me the merit to keep it. You think that Borei Olam is so bad that he haven't gave you your wife, that he haven't gave you kids, that he haven't gave you a house. Maybe that house can bury you. Maybe that wife can kill you. Maybe those kids can ruin you. Maybe you're going to have a kid that you're not going to have the ability to deal with him. You don't have the abilities. Maybe you have a wife and you don't know how to honor her. You don't have the sensitivity to understand that there is another human being in your life. To care, to listen, to be. You're not qualified. So maybe it's a wonderful thing that you're going to wait another 6 months or another 2 years or I don't know what. And in that time you're going to be more humble. You're going to buy that humility that when you're going to have that wonderful wife, you're going to respect her. You're going to say, thank you Hashem for bringing her. Thank you Hashem. And when she's going to cry and when she's going to feel bad, you're going to say, look, I don't want to lose that. I know what's happened with me until today. I don't want to be divorced. I don't want a second time. I don't want a second chance. I want the first one. And you're going to put effort that you're not used to, that you don't want to put, to invest. But you're going to realize that because of the loss, because of the defaults, because of the difficulties that brought you to humility. So just ask in the Yerid Bodedut, please Bor Olam, what do I lack of? What I don't know? What I don't understand? Guide me. Adricheni ba'amitecha, lamdeni chukecha. Let me understand what I'm lack of. The simple conversation with Bor Olam is the solution for all of our problems. When Rabbi Natan met Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he had a question that he asked that question to a lot of tzaddikim. That because we're respecting them so much, we don't want to mention their names. Huge students of Baal Shem Tov, huge Hasidim, rabbis, that you're going to shake standing in their tziyun, in their places. And they couldn't answer Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan, he had a question. And they couldn't answer to him. And when he met Rabbeinu, he had thoughts that wasn't stopping. All the time he was thinking. Like a train in his mind. Holy train. Only Torah he was thinking. But never stopped. Couldn't rest. And it's written that it's one of the things that are stopping the tshuva. You cannot do a complete tshuva if you don't have a menucha, rest. If you cannot give your mind break. And he couldn't. And he didn't know what to do. And he asked huge tzaddikim on that. When he came to Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu told him one sentence. Rabbeinu told him, on every problem that you have in your life, you can talk about it with Hashem Yitbarach. This was his solution. He said, in that moment I realized that this is the tzaddik of the generation. He's got the answer. Such an easy answer. Who is the tzaddik that won't answer you that? 99 of 100. Cannot give you that answer. Only Rabbi Nachman de Breslev can answer you that simple answer. On every problem that you have, you can talk about it with Hashem Yitbarach. And it stays a problem, talk about it more with Hashem Yitbarach. Until you're going to solve it. For one person it's going to take 2 minutes. For one person it's going to take 6 hours. For another person it's going to take half an hour daily for 3 months, for 7 months. There is no one that won't going to be answered. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Kol ha-ma'arich b'tfilato, en tefilato chozeret rekam. It's a rule. It's stronger than nature. The Gemara is stronger than nature rules. Everyone that he's got long tefilot on a subject, he's going to be answered. We learned it from Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'et Chanan, that there was a certain number of tefilot, and if Moshe Rabbeinu was doing another one, he would have entered to Eretz Israel. You think that you want to get married when you're 30. Great! But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you're going to be divorced until the age of 31. This is why he wants you to pass 31 and then get married. You have a mashber, a crisis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you have to go through in the age of 33. Hashem knows you have a crisis, you have something you have to go through. It's your tikkun, you cannot avoid it. And Hashem knows that if you're going to marry your wife, you cannot cross that crisis with her. She's going to be the main part of your crisis. And He knows that. I'm just giving examples. He knows that you need to buy something that causes humility before you're going to get married. Before you're going to have shalom bayit. You need to go through things. Have to judge Hashem Yitbarach to kav zchut. This is the most funniest joke of them all. Have to judge HaKadosh Baruch Hu to kav zchut, to believe that He knows what that He is doing. You know. I know. I don't know the number of my shoes. How can I know what's my tikkun, who is my soulmate, who, when my kids, where is my apartment? I don't know if I'm supposed to... Someone came to Rabbi Natan, a student came to Rabbi Natan, and Rabbi Natan was eating selek. Selek? Beets. He was eating beets. And that student started asking him questions and questions. What should I do? Questions! Berubo shel olam, the most important questions. Rabbi Natan is holding the spoon and is telling him, look, I don't know if to eat another spoon or to put the spoon down. And you're asking me questions on your life. I don't know if I should eat another bite of that beets. I don't know. Have to develop a relationship with the Creator. Everyone. No one can avoid that. It's a mitzvah, an obligation on the nations that wants to be from Bnei Noach. They have to have that daily conversation with Bore Olam. So us, even more so, we have to be the light for the Goyim. We have to illuminate that subject to them, that there is a Creator, that He solves all of your problems, that He takes care of everything, that He's supervising on us. This is the light that we should illuminate to the world. You're not allowed to teach them Torah, but faith you can. This was the answer of what was his name? Olam Chale. The Rav, the Posek that passed away. The Rav El Yashiv. They asked him a question on the gardens of Rav Shalom, on the books, if you allow to sell those books to Goyim. So he answered, I think it was his Chatan that asked him. So Rav Eliashiv answered that it's faith. And faith, you're allowed to teach the Goyim. Torah, you're not allowed to teach them. But faith, rules of faith, it's your obligation to teach them. So if they're obligated in that, so us, what are we going to say? We have to have a complete faith in Borei Olam. This is a must. This is the foundation. Complete faith. What it means? Enod milvado, there is nothing except of Hashem. And He is good and doing only good. V'akol letova. And this is the faith in Borei Olam. We have to have it. No explanations, no stories, nothing. Even people that came, I told you that story once, a person that was a Nitzol Shoah, saved from the Holocaust, and he becomes to be a kofir, and kafar, and everything. He becomes to be very rich in the United States. And one time the Admor, the Rebbe, from Natanya, what was his name? The Kloisenburg Rebbe. He called that person to come to his office, and he came, and he insulted him, and the Kloisenburg Rebbe insulted him. He wanted to donate a huge amount of money. Told him, your money is filthy, it stinks, and he thrown it all on the floor, and he insulted him. Told him, you're breaking rules and of the Torah Kedosha, and you know this, and that. He was rebuking him. And that person went away very much insulted. And the helper of the Rebbe Mikloisenburg, he asked him, why have you done that? Why insulted that person? He told him, listen, this person is a sweet person. You can never imagine. I know him from before of the Holocaust. He is the sweetest guy of them all. But he's sinning daily in sins and averot that he won't have a share in the world to come. Not the Holocaust is not an excuse. The Holocaust is not an excuse. So he told him, and I want him to have someone that in the world to come he's going to know that there was someone person that loved him and rebuked him. Because he's so rich and so successful that no one is rebuking him. Everyone are hugging him and giving him compliments and telling him that he's so miskin that he was in the Holocaust. And he built himself now and he became to be so rich. And daily is in his swimming pool, swimming and going to horse rides and nonsense and restaurants. No one is rebuking him. So he needs one strong rebuke from the Rebbe Mikloisenburg that you're going to wake up. Because even the Holocaust is not an excuse. It's not an excuse.
Excuse what?
It's an excuse, it's not an answer.
The excuse I once heard is a skin of reason stuffed with a lie. Like an old sausage.
Wonderful, thank you very much.
Rabbi Sai, we had 10 people this morning for Shabbos, so we appreciate the new video. And we have 5 visiting Bukharin from another area. So anyone who could be here for the next 2 days,